Good morning, everyone. Good to see everybody out this morning. As y'all know, Mason's got a procedure coming up Wednesday. He's just not feeling well today, so he asked me to preach at the last minute. So that's a good thing, because if the sermon's bad, then I can say, hey, I didn't have but a few minutes. And if it's good, it's, you know, even better. But anyway, this morning I want to talk about something that is very misunderstood in the religious world. And that's the will of God. Years ago, I was preaching in Clarksville, Tennessee. I had to take one of my kids, or maybe it was my wife, to the emergency room. And while I'm sitting in there waiting for them to be sewed up or whatever it was, a man comes walking through the door with his daughters and his wife. They take him straight on back into the triage room. And next thing I know, they come out and get the family, call them into this little side room. And all of a sudden, you hear the moaning and the screaming. Doesn't take a rocket science just to figure out what's going on. I went up to the window and asked the nurse, I said, I'm a preacher. Can I go in there and talk to them? She said, oh, please do. So I walked in the door and told him, I said, I'm a preacher. Can I pray with y'all or call somebody? And this one girl, she got up in my face with her finger in my nose. And she said, God killed my daddy. A lot of people think that way. God did not kill her daddy. But it seems like every time something bad happens to people, they want to blame God for it. But when good things happen, well, it's their own achievement, you know. That's just not the way God works. God had an intentional will. And by that, I mean God's intentional will was that man live with him in paradise for all of eternity. That was what the Garden of Eden was all about. As long as man didn't sin, they could live there, eating of the tree of life. And in their innocence, they could continue to live like that forever. I don't know how long Adam and Eve were in the garden before they sinned. I don't guess anybody knows. But anyway, they chose to sin, and therefore they were banned from the Garden of Eden. But God's intentional will was that man live with him forever in paradise. But man chose to sin. Sometimes people ask you, and they'll ask me, how come, if there is a God, how come he lets all this bad stuff happen? Well, we live in a fallen world. We did it ourselves. God didn't do it. God's intentional will was for us to live forever in paradise. But you know, God has another will. God has a permissive will. In other words, God lets us do things simply because of the way we're made. In Genesis 1:26, he said to the Holy Spirit and to Christ, I guess, he said, let us make man in our own image. In other words, we have something that the animal kingdom doesn't have, at least to the extent that we have it. In other words, we can make choices. We can choose to serve God or we can choose not to serve God. Animals just do what animals do by instinct, eating zebras or whatever. They just do it because that's what they're made to do. But you and I, we have been given choice. And we're free moral agents. We can choose whatever we want to do and do it. You remember in Joshua 24 and verse 15, when Joshua was making his farewell approach to the children of Israel, he was about to die. And he said to the children of Israel, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of the Amorites on the other side of the flood, or, I'm sorry, I got that backwards. But anyway, he's basically saying, choose you this day whom you will serve. It's your choice. You can either serve the gods back in Egypt, or you can serve the ones that are here in the land that you dwell in, or you can serve God. It's your choice. In 1 Kings chapter 18, when Elijah took all the prophets of Baal and Israel up on top of Mount Carmel, and they were going to have a test by fire, Elijah said in 1 Kings chapter 18, how long are you going to limp back and forth? How long are you going to serve God, and then the next day you're going to serve this idol, and the next day you serve God? How long are you going to keep limping back and forth? He said, if God is God, serve God. If Baal is God, serve Baal. Make a choice. Why does he say that? It's because you and I are free moral agents. God has given us something that he doesn't give anybody else, or the animals. We have a choice. We can make up our own minds what we're going to do, who we're going to serve. But God, not only does he have an intentional will, and not only does he have a permissive will, he also has a preceptive will. In other words, there are things that God wants us to do, he commands us to do, but because of our permissive will, we don't have to do them. Now, God's still going to hold us accountable for that. We're still amenable to the law of God. But if when God gives a preceptive will, that's exactly what he wants us to do. In Genesis chapter 6, you know, he told Noah to build an ark. He didn't tell us to build an ark, but he told Noah specifically how long that ark was to be, how wide, how tall. He'd give him every bit of the information that he needed to build that ark. Now, that was God's preceptive will. God has a preceptive will for us today. If we're outside of Christ, if we're still in our sin, God tells us what to do to get out of it. How does he do it? He gives us his preceptive will, things I want you to do. We need to hear the gospel, Romans 10, verse 17. We need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what Philip asked the eunuch in Acts chapter 8 when they was in the chariot. Do you believe? Yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's part of God's preceptive will, that we hear the gospel, that we believe it, that we repent of our sins. That's found in Acts chapter 2, verses 37 and 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So part of God's preceptive will is that we hear, that we believe, that we repent. And according to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, Paul says that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the tongue confession is made. What is it that we confess? Do we confess all of our past sins? No. No. You just confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you believe it, confess it. That's what you confess. Now later on, you can confess certain sins as they come up. You can confess them. As we said in class, if they're public, you need to make a public confession. If everybody knows about it, and you go to one person and tell them, that's really, you're not doing a good job of it. If everybody in this congregation knows I went into a beer joint and got drunk, who told y'all? No, I didn't do that. But if I had of, and everybody here knew it, I would need to apologize to the whole group. That's just the way things are. You confess your faults to one another. But also, part of God's preceptive will is that we be baptized, to have our sins washed away. That's what baptism is for. That's what Ananias told Saul in Saul of Tarsus, who later became Paul. He said in verse 16 of chapter 22 of Acts, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. And then there's one other thing that we have to do according to God's preceptive will. It's found in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. We need to be faithful unto death. We need to live our life in such a way that if God were to come or Christ were to come right now, we'd be ready. We'd be looking for him. We need to remain faithful unto death. There's another will of God. It's God's decretive will. In other words, when God decrees something is going to happen, well, it's going to happen. He told Noah back in Genesis 6, I'm bringing a flood upon the earth. Did it happen? Yes. It happened exactly like God said it was going to happen. God told the children of Israel that they were going to be in bondage in Babylon for 70 years. Did that happen? Yes, it happened. God told the children of Israel, I forgot what he's going to tell them there. But anyway, God has made certain decrees when he talks about heaven and hell. He's decreed that. That's coming. The second coming of Christ is coming, and we're going to be separated. Go to Matthew chapter 25, and I want to read a few verses out of here. And I want you to remember the point we're trying to make is on the decretive will of God, how God decrees something, and you best believe that it's going to happen because he has decreed it. It's going to happen. In verse 31 of Matthew 25, and this is talking about the day of judgment. Verse 31. I'm sorry, let me give me a drink. My mouth is dry. This is water. Excuse me. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to see me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave you drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took you in, or naked, and we clothed you? Or when did we see you sick, and in prison, and came unto thee? And the king answered and said, Verily I say unto you, as much as you did this to my brethren, you done it unto me, and one of the least of these my brethren. In other words, what Christ is saying, you may not have done it to me or for me, but the fact that you did it for someone else, God's taking that into account. So on judgment day, there's going to be a separation. Jesus is going to tell those on the right side, the enter in, my good and faithful servant. On the left, they're going to be condemned to hell. Now, that's something that God has decreed is going to happen. Now, most of the world lives today like it's not going to happen. They just live however they want to, and they think that somehow or another they're going to somehow slip through the cracks. I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not, but everybody that dies on Facebook is going to heaven. Every one of them. I don't care how they live their life, they're going to go to heaven, according to Facebook. I remember I heard a story once about a young widow with her two small children sitting on the front row of the church building during a funeral. And the preacher was going on and on about what a great guy this guy was and how humble he was and meek and just wonderful. And the mother tells the oldest child, go up there and look in that casket. We're in the wrong place. Yeah, we're going to have a judgment day, and we're going to be judged, and there's going to be a separation. And according to Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, there's going to be very few that are saved. Sometimes people ask us in the Church of Christ, y'all think y'all are the only ones going to be saved. I always say, I'm worried about most of us. Satan's already got the world. He's got the denominations. Who do you think he's spending all of his time on? On us. He's after us. So God has an intentional will. It was for man to live forever in paradise with him. He has a permissive will. He gave us the ability to choose. That's something that is unique to us. We can choose. We can choose to serve God or not. God gave us a preceptive will. In other words, he's told us what to do and how to do it in order to be pleasing to him. God also has a decretive will where he says, this is coming, this is going to happen, and you better believe that it's going to happen. But God also has another will. And after the day of judgment, when we're judged and we're told to enter into the kingdom or depart into everlasting fire, God's going to have an ultimate will. His ultimate will is the same thing as his intentional will. His ultimate will is those who are righteous will live forever with him in paradise, in heaven. So what we have to do is we have to understand that just because we have a permissive will, that doesn't give us the authority to just live how we want to, not in God's eyes. Now, in the world's eyes, we can, but not in God's eyes. God has given us his preceptive will. He tells us what to do. He tells us how to live. He tells us how to treat our enemies, how to treat our spouses. He tells us all these things. It's part of his preceptive will. And you better believe that when God predicts, or not predicts, but when he decrees that there is a day coming which the righteous will be separated from the wicked, you better believe that, because it's going to happen. Just as sure as the flood, just as sure as the children of Israel left in Egypt for 430 years, God decreed that. He told Abraham that. 1,000 years before they went into Egyptian bondage, he said it's going to happen. They're going to be there 430 years. He decreed it. It happened. And then God's going to have an ultimate will. He has an ultimate will. Either you're going to live forever with him in paradise as he intended from the beginning, or you're going to live, or you're going to have to suffer the second death, which is eternity in a lake of fire. So if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, why don't you think seriously about becoming one? Put God first. Obey him. Obey his perceptive will. Do what he wants you to do. It's your choice. We can't force you to do it, but we can try to get you to see how important it is. So if you're here this morning, you've never been baptized, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you willing to turn away from your sin? Then are you willing to be baptized, to have your sins washed away, rising to walk in newness of life? Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. If you're willing to do that, why don't you come forward right now while together we stand and sing.